Blog Talk Radio.
In the day. I am so thrilled. I've got two amazing producers joining me here today. Edmund is at the helm of our network, Transformation Talk Radio, making sure the live stream and stuff is going out. And then Benny and I have been together longer than I can even imagine. I thought about this the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, ooh, we got to have a party in a couple of years, Benny.
we have a party every day.
We got to be getting it. We do have a party every day.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is, you know, I was getting ready to the show with Kimberly Meredith today, the author of Awakening to the Fifth Dimension. And I was looking at sort of the history because we're getting ready to announce a few things and do some really cool stuff. And I went back, and as I'm reading her book, Discovering the Soul's Path to Healing, and I was thinking about us, Benny, as I'm creating like little video vignettes of stuff of us, like pictures of me and you, and then like table tennis pictures. And I was really struck by how much healing I've done 18 years in this venue, not having a clue about what the heck I was doing. And I was thinking about you and our journey together. And what I loved was how much I've learned about myself in this journey and how much more I have to learn. And so today, as we get to have a conversation about healing, and believe me, this is something very near and dear to me, because 6 months after dialing a wrong phone number and ending up buying airtime and looking where I was 18 months ago, I started to doubt myself, and the mystery disease showed up. Now, I know that now and looking back, but I didn't know it when we were doing it. But what happens when you are in that space where you have to really call upon what you don't see, maybe what you have a sense of? But what if you learned, especially learned from, you know, my very special guest today, what if you could learn about some of the things we're talking about? You know, if you could look at what a medical medium and healer is, as Kimberly is, you know, if you could look at what the abilities are that you bring forward, if you could take a look at how to improve your life, how to bring in the divine Christ consciousness, to bring that in, if you could really have a sense of that, how might your entire perspective on life change? How might your life change? And so for me, it's really an honor and a privilege to have her on the show, because when we start to think about, you know, the medical intuitive and her show, the Medical Intuitive Miracle Show, when we start to think about these things, does it call you to action? Does it make you wonder? Do you wonder if there's a dimension out there that you're tapping into? I want to say this. Anybody that watched the Olympics last night and watched Dressler take the gold in a race that a lot of people think he didn't have a chance, and you saw this man, this young man, this moment where he connected with millions of people around the world, and you saw the energy of who he was and the tears in his eyes, you had to know you were experiencing a moment of oneness. Today, let's awaken to the fifth dimension with my very special guest, Kimberly Meredith. Kimberly, thank you. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Smack. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. And more importantly, let me please acknowledge you for what you're doing in the world. You know, I'm not kidding about the mystery disease, and I carried that disease with me for 10 years. And, you know, what I want to say is that you are out in the world, and you are enabling all of us to tap in and understand something that is so powerful, and you're sharing your story, and you're encouraging us in so many ways. What in your world, Kimberly, this is a question I've been asking people for 18 years. What in your world, what are some of the challenges, what are some of the obstacles, Kimberly, that you have personally had to overcome to bring you to this very moment?
I've had a lot of obstacles. I mean, from the time of growing up with dyslexia, eyes that were blinking as a kid, my mother, who was a alcoholic, had lots of different types of issues. Growing up in the book, you will read.
Yep.
Tumultuous childhood. two near-death experiences. The near-death experiences were profound, left me in a wheelchair, and took, I think it was almost 2.5 years to recover from the NDEs. It wasn't like I just snapped right out from the near-death experiences and jumped out of my wheelchair and started living a normal life. After the second NDE, I was, as I started learning to embrace my gifts, and in the chapter, one of the chapters called The Reappearance of My Blinking Eyes, over several months, had to accept the eyes that were blinking that I had when I was little were bringing me back to source, the energy of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and coming to the grips of that. That's who I really was a medium, which I didn't really know that as a kid. I knew I was different, and I knew I had some sort of connection to God through my eyes and blinking, and I knew I had paranormal experiences when I was little, but I didn't know that I was going to be who I am right now. The difference between understanding that, like you're saying about the athlete, is that now that I know 100% who I am, which is a source of communication with the other side, a medical intuitive and healer, is that the negative energy is very predominant, always has been since we came into the world, and the positive energy, which is the holy experience of God, love, light, source, is very much here and ready for us to embrace the miracles through me, through you, through all of us, if we're ready to experience that.
Yeah. You know, I was really struck, and you, do you mind if I read from your book?
Sure.
Okay. You and I could have long conversations about our childhood. You know, put us together, we would be the blinking, stuttering duo. Can you imagine that show? And, you know, I have had always had a hard time talking about, you know, I've talked recently, you could hear me stutter now a little bit, but I've talked recently about growing up stuttering because, first of all, you know, we've seen it in the media with Biden and other people. But there's such a gift in it. And in your book, you talk about the gifts. And that's why I want to go to this for a minute because this is like, I'm going to create a poster of this in the book, right? I can't wait to get your permission to blow it up. Can I read it? Here it is. Benny, you ready for it? God is energy. God is love. We all have the ability to tap into this energy, manifest it, and receive it in our bodies. It is through the energy of love and light that the body can heal. And you go on and you talk about that. You talk about what it means to receive God's love. And I'm struck by it because when you are people like you and like me, and we've been, I don't know, what do we want to call it? Not very well in our bodies. You know, our bodies not working the way we want. We don't understand it. There's a place we get to go. I want to ask you, tell us about this place from your experience. Tell us about the connection to this place. This connection with God is everything. God is love. God is energy.
Yeah, so particularly when I came home from the hospital in the wheelchair, and the massive amount of pain from my brain having a concussion, and I had a choice whether to stay on all their medication or to give it up or have surgeries and stay on the medication or reach the point of just getting rid of all the medications and staying on this journey of the blinking eyes started happening and what I was going to do. I decided to just get rid of the medications and tap into the source of the omnipresent and understand how to just release and let the energy of the Holy One come through my body. And I deal with a lot of clients, too, that are the worst-case scenarios of cancer, MS, Parkinson's, and that have an enormous amount of pain. And by understanding that, turning it all over to the highest energy, which is the energy of love, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Numbing it out with the Holy Spirit and having this awakening. So what happened to me is that I chose to do that. And what happened is that's when my gifts fully awakened.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that everybody has to not go to something for maybe if you do need some sort of medication. I'm not against that. And you do need to do that. But I feel like you have to put all your life and soul into making a decision. You can't be half in and half out with the energy of Source. You have to fully dive in and say, I am 100% in all the way. We're in the world right now we're in, which is a third dimensional world.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision to say, I am going to go all the way in with the energy. And if you don't believe in God, at least believe in yourself and believe in that you have the power to be healed and believe in the highest dimensional frequency, which is the miraculous omnipresent.
Yeah. I love this conversation because we've been talking about either you're all in or you're not. And I did a reflection not too long ago about one of my mentors in one of my training. You know, God is either everything or God is not. God either is or God isn't. What will I choose? And that's a mantra that's part of my training and part of what I had to learn. Because even in this time we're living in, it seems like it's confusing. But the way you just described it makes it perfectly clear we can choose. And it's one or the other.
Yeah, I don't know how far you got or you read the whole book, but in the
I read the whole book.
Yeah, I have a lot of miracle healings, the little girl, the man from New York, the 9/11. These are real stories. These are people, and I have hundreds, thousands of people that I have witnessed have been healed, documented. Like, this is real. And people will eventually, not just me, I can't teach the blinking eyes and the scanning that I do, but many people were moving into the ascension will be healing themselves and doing this. And many are doing it already. And I have this practice where daily people come in and are the psychic surgery I do and the healings, this is just daily life for me that I see people being healed every day that come in and around me, and I do it through Skype too.
Yeah, and, you know, so people can, first of all, I want to make sure everybody knows that, and thank you to Sarah Scarlett, who, you know, has been our friend for close to two decades and, you know, is enabling us to have this conversation with you. Those folks are amazing. But I also want to say that for those of you out there, you can go to thehealingtrilogy.com. Kimberly Wright, thehealingtrilogy.com. But more importantly, you know, this is what I love. You know, this is where, look, we're having a short show today and a conversation. And I'm trying to capture everything in this fantastic book, including the recipes in the back, okay? Just saying. But one of the things I want you all to know is go to the Medical Intuitive Miracle Show, right? If you go to Kimberly's website, you're going to be able to connect with Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and go to the radio show. Because, you see, let me tell you about this, okay? You know, there's not only, I read your book twice. First time I had sort of the, we're learning different. That's what they call us now. We used to be disabled, but we're not that anymore. They call us learning different. So maybe we've elevated ourselves because we got a little bit of learning things. Mine is a form of dyslexia where I see the words in pictures, so I never see the words. Can you imagine what it's like to try to write in a GRE exam when they ask you a question, you see the words, and then you start drawing pictures to answer. You don't pass it. You don't get good grades in a GRE. But what you, right? Seriously, right?
It's a lot, right? A book.
Yeah. And what we realize is there's something else about us, though, that brings us forward. I want to talk now about the fifth dimension. I really want to jump to that. I don't know and can't explain how I went from my cells not working in my body to them working again. But I started a radio show 18 years ago by accident. I dialed the wrong phone number. The show wasn't even called this. And then I started to talk to people that I never thought I could talk to. And I'm a student even today. I'm a student reading your book. How do we help people? Because I'm all in. I'm never going to stop doing positive radio. And, you know, we created a positive network in the television venue. I'm never going to stop that because that is something that I know that I'm called to do. But how do we move from that language of that to a connection that takes us to a place so that we can heal globally? How do we get to that place for people listening that are saying, I want what Kimberly has?
Well, I think everybody has a choice to enhance their own frequency daily, and also helping people is first helping yourself and to serve others. And by helping yourself is first using a daily practice of meditating, eating well, and learning that you absolutely have to serve others. So in my book, there's many things to teach you about consciously. Number one is to, like I said, raise your own consciousness, because our bodies are full of consciousness. It's not always your own consciousness. So like you said, you wound up on your show, but that was not an accident. You were guided by spirit. Something in you guided you by your higher consciousness, and you took the action. So when we are fearless, we are taking the action of the Holy Spirit. When we're afraid, we're being held back by the negative. When we go to action, we're being guided by love. When we're stuck in the negative, we are being guided by the fear. So what's important to understand right now more than ever is that we need to move forward in our awakening so we can heal our world. And by healing our world, in the book we talk a lot about water, global warming, and our bodies, how our bodies can heal and move forward is by taking action to be as pure with our, not only our healing in our life, consciously by what we eat and drink, but by spiritually boosting our bodies, also by the people we have around us who love us and how we speak and respect each other.
Yeah. I have a show at 4 o'clock on Thursdays in addition to this. It's called The Psychic and the Doc, and I'm not the psychic, I'm the doc part. Mark Anthony is the psychic. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is exactly this. You know, I am struck by a couple of things in the world. My nature is I'm a pop culture girl. So people, when I say that and they look at me, they're like, no, how could you be that? How could you have a network called Transformation Talk Radio? And like, what? Are you watching Black Widow? Yes, I watched that. But I'm going to be talking tonight about something. And I'm going to be talking about Simone Biles. But I'm going to have a bigger conversation about what you just said. What you just said about surrounding ourselves with supportive people and people we love and being in that space, I think is one of the greatest blessings we can have in this world. And
well,
yet,
it's
hard for people to do.
I don't think it's hard. I think it's understanding that there are third-dimensional energies and there's fifth-dimensional energies. And when you understand the difference between third dimension and fifth dimension, then you can't take your energies, your third-dimensional energy, and keep, you know, you understand what you understand what 3D conscious is and fifth-dimensional conscious is. So when you understand that, and I teach you that in the book, then it's very easy to understand. 3D is fear, worry, anger. The fifth dimension is love, joy, abundance, gentle, harmony. And so we don't judge anybody. We don't want to be hurtful. But you can't take all of the third dimensional energy with you. The 3D is depopulating. So if you are in a relationship with somebody that's third dimensional, and in the book I talk about third dimensional relationships, how they can't evolve really in your life. And so if you're having a healing or you're doing a healing with someone in 3D and they're in a fifth dimensional energy and they get in that fifth dimensional energy, then it can be very exhilarating and miraculous, and it can stay. If they happen to go back down into 3D, it can still stay. If you're praying and you're meditating every day, if you're in a sexual relationship in a 3D relationship, there's nowhere really to go. If you take your 3D relationship, so someone's in a 3D and a 5D relationship, one a person's 5D and the other person's 3D, and you're in a romantic relationship, can that work? People ask me. No, not really. So, but you can help that relationship. You can move it. Many of my clients move their relationship into a very good growth right now, and they are moving, helping them grow into a very prosperous relationship. Because what's happening is people are moving into the ascension and the awakening. So to answer the question, if you're diagnosed with a disease and you want to be healed, you can shift into the fifth dimension right now very quickly. People are healing faster than ever right now.
Yeah.
Even though all the sickness is being plagued in this world right now as we speak. The plastic, the pollution, the organic is not organic. All this is happening. The knowledge that is coming out and all of this information for us is happening at the same time. I have seen in the last year so much improvement in people's health. It's amazing.
What I love about this is, and you talk about this in the book, and I loved it because you spell it out. I was just looking at this, and I came in this morning, and I had a chat with my team after reading your book because I realized that, you know, there are some things that all of us can change, me too. And I read this. Third-dimensional relationships are self-esteem busters. Fifth-dimensional relationships generate self-esteem. And as I went on to read this, you know, what it leads me to is talking about this when we come back for break. I know this is a shorter interview, but I want to talk with you about the understanding of fifth dimensional consciousness. Because sometimes when people hear us talk about this, they think, I'm never going to get it. But the way you describe it, and I want to read this before we go to break and talk about it when we come back. You know, the way you describe it in the book is around miracles. And I just love this. I love this conversation. One way it will demonstrate itself is through your gifts that you feel compelled to share with the world. You begin to feel confident, strengthened, with an interest in self-care and a feeling of personal responsibility. We're going to take a short break when we come back.
Okay.
We're going to tap into that with you, Kimberly, because the way you've written this book is you've really created an invitation for people regardless of what they're going through. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what your, you know, SES relationship or your income is or what you're doing in the world. But you've opened up a door for people to look at this and say, this is it. You can feel strengthened. You can feel confident. You can feel connected. And you could be on a soul path. Let's take a short break. When we come back, more about that. For those of you out there, please go ahead and get a copy of the book. You can find out about Kimberly in a lot of ways. Go to thehealingtrilogy.com, that website. And when you go there, there's a lot of information, how you can book an appointment. You could talk about the Angel Club, videos, you know, the media, her show, services, everything there. But you can also go to Facebook as well. And when you go to Facebook, what you're going to be able to see is Awakening to the Fifth Dimension, what it is. And, you know, it's easy. Kimberly Meredith 11, my number. Thank you. And when you go there, this is what you're going to be able to find. You know, join in on the conversation. Because if you're not in on the conversation, it's hard to be in on the energy. And don't you want to be around people that love you? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path for the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOgnedo.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Pat Basile, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Awaken to the fifth dimension. I love this. You know, many years ago, you know, we did many interviews with Norm Shealy, Dr. Norm Shealy, and, you know, he wrote the foreword in the book. But more importantly, when you go and take a look at, you know, Kimberly and what she's doing, you go to thehealingtrilogy.com, what you're going to find is, you know, the body of work that she does, I wish we would come back and do another show and do, and here's what we're doing. We're doing something really interesting moving forward. We're actually bringing you on as an audience on our Zoom so that we can have interactive healing and interactive calls. We're going to be doing that. Our first show of doing that is in 2 weeks. Because I want people to experience the gifts, to really feel it and see it. So we've created this workaround technology to do it. But when people go to your website, they're going to be able to not just learn about you or removing tumors or restoring hearing, but they're going to also see the research, you know, the energetic power of what you're doing. And that's why I wanted to jump to talk about understanding this fifth dimensional consciousness from your perspective. Certainly in the book, brilliant book, you know, brilliant the way you really talk about the humanness of us. Tell us from your experience and some of the stories in the book what we can expect as we move towards the fifth dimension.
I think how I explain it is that people are going to have a deeper understanding of their own body. They'll start to notice when they get hits on their own physical issues, that they won't ignore them when they are starting to feel. Their intuitive abilities will heighten. So if they're feeling sick or they're feeling emotions or they're feeling more connected to the other side, I'm noticing even now when my clients come in and they say stuff to me, like they're having this or that. And when I scan somebody, when I wave my hand across the body and my eyes blink, I'm connected to people's bodies and I'll do the scanning. And they'll say, oh yeah, I did have that, or I did have that, or this did happen to me. They'll say, I did get that hit. My doctor didn't know it, but I felt it. And then I'll find it on them. They'll go back and look at an MRI or a CAT scan and they'll say, you were right. I feel as they, we get closer and closer because we are already are emerging into the highest conscious frequency. And the more people emerge into this, faster people will start to get their own hits on what is happening to them. And they also will be able to experience their own DNA activating to this and have more awakenings, more kundalini awakening in their body without taking any sort of psychedelics to make that happen. I know people do take psychedelics to do that, but I don't feel you need to do that. You can have an awakening on your own through Christ consciousness. The Christ consciousness on the planet now is so, it's vibrating so high, and that's what pulls us sometimes to the opposite direction.
As we move forward, we've seen a lot of changes. We've seen a lot of things in the world. You know, we've seen energetic shifts that we just can't put our finger on. I mean, you know, there's a lot of conversations, Kimberly, about, you know, we can't go back to the old normal. And yet people want to call this a new normal. And I'm not sure that this normal is not even the, I don't even understand the word normal. I think it puts us in a box. Can you talk about, you know, the shifting energy that you felt, that you see going on right now, which is really an invitation to a whole new paradigm for people?
Well, it's interesting because I've been seeing things shift since I had my years of experience, and it's just getting faster and faster. I can only speak for my own self because I only know from my own eyes that things for me seem like they're getting better. And I know for everybody else, they seem like they're getting worse. But I feel like for me and some of my own clients, and because I do my work, I go to expos, I've never shut my office down, if you're talking about COVID.
Right, me either. We didn't shut down either.
Yeah, I can only say that when we take a responsibility for our own consciousness, and we raise our own consciousness every day, and we take our selves to understanding that we can keep growing, and it's absolutely necessary right now with our health, our consciousness, and daily practice every day, and serving others and doing something to help others, then we keep moving, and in the ascension process is growing. And so when you ask me the question about what's going to happen, I think you were trying to formulate that to me. I feel like we have 10 years to clean this up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my question. Yeah. And as we look at these 10 years, you know, look, there's a quote from Einstein. I just love it. I never understood it till recently, but I think this is, he's talking about dimensions. When he says you can't solve the problem at the level it was created, I mean, think about it. You know, I do believe he was really talking dimensionally. I believe he was talking about the fact that, you know, this is the dimension it was created in, but you're not going to solve it in this dimension. And, you know, you have to go to another place, another level of consciousness. And I think we're starting to see it, and your book really helps us. I know, Kimberly, there's so much we could talk about. I want to thank you for today.
Yeah, I think consciousness, though, is unlimited, and it's endless, but I feel like we have to take responsibility for our own consciousness.
Yeah.
And not let outer consciousness manipulate you. And I just want to say before we end,
yeah,
is that always remember to have a daily practice where I like to just say meditating every day, 5 minutes a day, even if you're saying, I am love, I am light, I am joy, I am peace. Keeping away the outer negative chatter is so important because we do live in a third dimensional world right now. And raising yourself up every day and saying these practices in the speech and keeping yourself centered in that fifth dimensional energy, because there's so many dimensions, like you said, but at least trying to stay in that fifth dimension is so important.
It is. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, Kimberly. Thank you so much for being here. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie,
and me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shade the Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion. First Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance, your joy, and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Yes, what? You don't need to wait until the new year to set new goals for yourself. Hi, I'm Joan Marlowe, the host of Awareness to Action, and I'm taking this concept to a whole new level. I've developed a program to take your awareness to action in 90 days. Let me introduce you to your day one. Day one can start any day you choose, so why not now? We will use powerful brainstorming, mastermind, visioning, and goal-setting techniques to open your awareness of what you really want in your life and take action with intention to get there. Choose to work with me one-on-one or in a small group. Let's connect, lift each other up, and hold each other accountable. I'm offering a free consult to design your program. Visit my site, peacefulhealing.com, to connect with me, and let's find out when your day one will begin.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. One of the things I want to talk about, you know, we are absolutely, you know, thrilled. I really love what Kimberly was writing. And, you know, and here's what we're starting to see. We're starting to see it. You know, tonight at 4 o'clock on Transformation Talk Radio, this is a show that Mark and I have been doing. It's called The Psychic and the Doc. Mark Anthony is the psychic lawyer. Many of you know him for his near-death experience and so forth. But tonight we're talking about something interesting. These are live call-in shows. It's the same 1-800-930-2819 number. And we do a combination of readings. Mark will do readings from those that are beyond, right? And that's what he does. And then I will do sort of my sense of what do you do with it now? How do you take it into the world? I picked a topic for tonight's show that is aligned with what Kimberly was saying in a way. It's a show, we're calling it Simone Biles, Mental Self-Care, Not Just for Gymnasts. And what I talk about is the twisties, head casing, mental block, bailing, and balking. These are terms in gymnastics. And what we're going to be talking about is, you know, what is it when we enter a realm where we are so decompartmentalized from our body and our mind? And, you know, when you heard her talk about her experience, you really get a sense that there is something that was going on that was separating her from what her potential is, and she made one of the smartest decisions. You know, we're not talking about a sport that when you're not completely there, you could do the sport and walk away from it. Even if you don't do it well, you can walk away from it without injury. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a woman that has created such a standard for gymnastics. The degree of difficulty is something that the judges don't even get. They don't even know how to score her. And when you are not in yourself and in the consciousness and totally connected, body, mind, and spirit, really all of that. When you're not in that place, that dimension of things, and I do believe that when Simone Biles is at her best, it is a fifth dimensional experience. And I was watching this last night. There are two things I was really struck by last night. One was, of course, watching the men's race where Dressler just was fantastic. I mean, the closeness of that. But after something like that, and you look into the eyes of somebody that has achieved that, you clearly see that there is a connection that is so beyond the water in the pool, the skin of the individual. You can see it. You can see it in his response and reaction, the emotional side of that. You could see his gratitude in that. And, you know, tonight we're going to open the door to talk to people about, are you in your world, and many, many are you post-COVID-19 having your own version of this? Now, there's something that Kimberly said that is so obvious to those of us sitting here that look at what it takes for athletes in the United States of America and what happens to us here that's very different than other countries. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And let me give you an example. You've taken athletes that have such support systems here, that grow up with their parents, that these folks, family, friends, they go to every event. They're side by side with these people. You know, they are the backbone, the stronghold. And, you know, we're going to be talking about this tonight because we've all gone through this, you know, but it's playing out on the global international level. You know, you're looking at a group of people from the United States of America that are so used to having support systems, and there are none. And what I'm really struck by is even in the reaction of sports, your coaching team, the other athletes there, I'm just watching this, and I'm seeing the difference between the energy of those support systems in the United States and, for example, Australia. Holy cow. You know, there's not a single swimming event that I've seen, just to take swimming, where there has been an entourage, hasn't been an entourage of people to just been so in support of their athletes. And I ask myself, why? So tonight we're going to explore this. We're going to explore, you know, did the United States Olympic team committee totally miss the boat? I mean, is this an epic fail on mental health and support? Is that what this is? Is that what we're seeing? You know, are we seeing something that could have been done differently? You know, perhaps a different set of coaches, perhaps people, you know, not just send them over to the recovery building and let them get massage. Those things are great. But did we miss the boat on providing them with emotional support that they perhaps need that maybe some of the other teams don't? And this, to me, is the, I call it seriously, the epitome of effect of COVID-19 in the United States of America. You know, we have been so isolated from each other during this. We're hungry for it. And what I'm really looking at, especially tonight, there's so many things I looked at that just don't make sense to me. I play a sport. Benny knows that, right, Benny? And I play a sport. And I know that in my sport, if I'm not doing well, I have to bring things to help me get back on track. And I have a number of them I want to talk about tonight. But do you all know that if you're going to look at Simone Biles, take a look at some of the other factors. Here's a few. This is Simone Biles that started to have, and it isn't just her, some of the other athletes, started to have this effect called the twisties. She had it in 2019. She had a little bit of it going into the Olympics. And then coming over to the Olympics, she had it again. And what this is something that you cannot compartmentalize. Are you making that twist or not? And for Simone Biles, it's dangerous. But here's what I was really struck by. All the signs were there. You know, the universe and the channeling, as you know, as Dr. Greta likes to call it, you know, the realm of beings, every bit of information was there to say to the United States gymnastics team, this may be an issue for you. So a couple of days ago, we find out that the way to fix the twisties has to do with a certain gym mat. And I ask myself, what is the real effect of what we've been through these past 18 months? Is it such that at some level we're forgetting the basics of life? We're really unplugged to connecting the dots because we've been so focused. You know, we've been in such fear. And you can see it. You can really see it. But the fact that the United States gymnastic team, now this is as of yesterday what I read, did not bring that mat that could fix the twisties for Simone Biles. Guess it's a special mat. Guess it's a special tool. When I'm off playing my game, I have a special bat that helps me get back. Or we have special tools that helps us get back in life. There are things we do to help us get back, to fix our own version of the twisties. Because if we can't compartmentalize our lives, get up, go to work, make sure you're feeding the family, taking care of the kids, maybe what you're doing is you have to make a deposit in the bank. We all have been through 18, 20 months of the twisties. But what are we doing to acknowledge it? And thanks to Simone Biles, we get to think about it. We get to see it play out on one of the grandest stages we have in the world. We're getting to see it play out. But what about us? Also, those responsible for the well-being of others, what about us? Are we forgetting to look in our toolkit? And in the most prestigious event in the world, some say, you don't bring the gymnastic mat. You don't buy one. You don't get one that she needs to help her get rid of that. How does that even happen? Well, I'm not a gymnast, and I certainly don't know the sport. But it's almost like if you know that's an issue, or maybe you're the swimming coach, and you don't bring in a couple of extra caps for people, that's like just out of balance. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Maybe each of us has a bit of the twisties going on, and we have to acknowledge it so we can do something about it. But how do we help us connect the dots between that which is so spiritual, especially in communication, with, as Mark would say, with people that have crossed over, the dead, whatever that is? How do we take information that we're being given, just like Kimberly talked about it, how do we take that and use it in our lives today? Well, I'll tell you, I'm a little street smart, so there's never going to be anything that anybody could say to me to explain to me why the United States of America cannot afford a mat for the top gymnast in the world to help her fix her game. And like Kimberly said, you got to be all in. You got to be all in. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of those things that might have helped and may still help us all take pause. Short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Another version of the Dr. Pat Show. And again, tonight at 4 o'clock on Transformation Talk Radio, The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me. It's a live call-in show. We're going to help with self-care. But thank you, Simone Biles, for talking about something that we are not talking about here, and that is mental self-care. Thank you for that. We'll see you all in a minute.
on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Thursday to you. Kenny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update. For around the south, well, the earlier accidents and collisions have been taken care of. However, in the south end, 405 northbound at the 167 interchange, East Tuckwilla and South Renton through the S-curves up through the Canyondale Hill, it's still heavy. Good thing, though, it will break free as you're climbing up through Northeast 30th Street. Who's into Bellevue? Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, though, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by, and saying hello to space between you and you, with special guest coach, Ellen Wyoming. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is asking Congress to extend the CDC's eviction ban. This comes as a response to the nation's spike in COVID-19 cases. The moratorium on evictions is set to expire this weekend, and the administration is insisting they don't have the power to extend it. More than 200 Republican lawmakers are asking the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's the landmark ruling which led to the legalization of abortion nearly 50 years ago. They hope the vehicle for overturning the abortion ruling is a Mississippi case involving a state ban on most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The Supreme Court will consider the Mississippi law in its next term, which starts in October. A congressional hearing today is looking at a proposed Texas voting law that would roll back much of the expansions made during the pandemic. State Representative Diego Bernal says claims that there is widespread voter fraud are a myth.
There are 154 prosecutions of voter fraud in the past 17 years in Texas. Out of 94 million votes cast, the likelihood of voter fraud in Texas is less than any one of us being struck by lightning.
The Texas Republican lawmakers argue their bill actually expands voting. Voting hours would go from 6 in the morning to 10 at night. That's an increase of 4 hours a day. And employers are forced to allow workers time to cast a ballot. Dozens of Texas Democrats left the state this month to D.C. to prevent a quorum during the special session. More companies are rolling out mask mandates for customers and vaccine requirements for employees. Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott says that's the way a capitalist society should work.
So a company wants to mandate, they want to decide, oh, you can't come into my store without a vaccine or a mask. Have at it. Then I get to decide as a customer not to show up.
Many Florida counties and cities are bringing back mask requirements in public buildings. Florida's among the top states reporting new COVID infection numbers to the CDC as the Delta variant spreads. New York's Governor Cuomo says he wants workers back in New York City office buildings by Labor Day. Some employers are pushing back their return to office date amid concerns tied to the Delta variant. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, DonyCo Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, DonyCo Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team DonyCo and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. DonyCo Pet Clinic. Log into DonyCo.org. That's DonyCo.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. Another gorgeous and sunny day again we have in store for us today. High temperature around 89, maybe 90 in selected areas. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Low temperatures dropping down to a mild 62 for Friday. High temperatures a little warmer, around 90, 91. With partly cloudy skies for Friday night, low temperatures down to about 66. For the weekend, partly sunny skies for Saturday, highs around 85, with more clouds and a slight actual chance of rain showers. Slipping in Sunday, with high temperatures falling down to about 75.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Here Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so much. We have a great show lined up for you today with my very special coach, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, saying hello to the space between you. And this is what Ellen does. You know, she works with clients all over the world, looks at energy, the inner light, and helps understand this for them and for ourselves. How do you build a personal cultivating way for us to each grow and accumulate what we've learned so that we can fully step into who we are? But if you're stuck by limiting beliefs, burnout, uncertainty, it's all of those things which give us gigantic potholes that we not only step in, but we literally set up home in our potholes and not even realize we're in our potholes. And so we need to figure out a way to get out. And one of the things and one of the messages certainly from Ellen is we have to understand the in-between. What does that mean? And certainly, as the host of a show, The Pause, on Transformation Talk Radio, this is the place of insight. This is the place where what we call magic happens. This is the place when you go back and you look at people that we put in the genius category, they've been there, right? And I talked about this in the last show, and I love this about Einstein, and I really do believe I know what he meant. You cannot solve the problem at the level it was created. And so today, get ready. Perspective, framing, point of reference, all of the above. How do we get to the place we want to go as we move into the pause? Ellen, it's great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Pat. I'm really excited to be here today.
Try to understand this from a perspective of our everyday lives, right? You know, what does perspective mean in your world? And I want to talk about this because I talked about this in the last show a little bit. I'm going to talk about it at my 4 o'clock show. I want to talk about Simone Biles. I want to talk about her from a different perspective of what we're reading. But for you, what does it mean when you're working with people to help them get to that space and shift perspective?
Oh, so much. So let me try to answer the question, but I already have like 10 images in my mind that I want to like convey. And the biggest thing, the image is being perspective, right? But the biggest thing being, so I'm fundamentally and came into my coaching world, my coaching life through facilitation. And in facilitation, I would convene groups, maybe it was 8, 10, 15, sometimes hundreds, to get through something together. And when you're a facilitator, and I really believe this is the backbone of my entire work in one-to-one coaching as well, when you're a facilitator, your perspective has to get as neutral as it can get, because I have to hold and create a space and a container for the myriad voices, opinions, and points of view to be able to engage in something robust, something changing. I did a lot of work in diversity, equity, and inclusion. I did a lot of work for visioning and planning for economic development, community development. There was a lot of energy always around what people wanted to say. And the more intense the conversation, the more charged the room was. My job was to go, what do I see and how do I not react to it, but be clear with where my space is? Because my role in that situation as a facilitator and a coach is to be as objective and space and container holding as possible, so that what needs to be aired can be aired, and I'm not sucked into it, because it can be charged, especially when you start to talk about race or racism, right? How can I see the energy of what's happening and have my space from it so that I can help navigate what people are working through, because they're so rooted in the emotion of the story, or they're so rooted and sometimes lost in their body's reaction to what's happening that they can't get perspective, right? That's the difference. Like, perspective is like, is it the perspective of you in your emotion, in the feeling, in the story, and you're kind of carried on that wave, or is it that you're getting space from all of those inputs
and you have perspective to see things a little bit more clearly for what they are and maybe the arc of it. So you can kind of figure out with a little bit more groundedness how to put yourself back into the fray or how to navigate it. And for me, it was always how to help pinpoint lights of clarity so people could hear, especially if they were not hearing each other, right?
Yeah.
How can I rephrase it so they can hear it and they can hear it and go, okay, we have different viewpoints, but here are some commonalities, or here is really where we fundamentally do have to agree to disagree because it is so different and we are so nuanced as humans. There are great general overarching stories that we share as humans, but then we're also still anchored in our own reality and living our life the way it is, and depending on where people are, like, that's it. And I think the beauty of gaining perspective is the beauty of giving yourself space to step back so you're not lost in it, so you have more control for how you respond.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm struck by, and we're going to be talking about it tonight, is, you know, I'm looking at sort of how things are playing out. People are focused on the Olympics right now. Not everybody in the world is focused on them, but, you know, most people know they're going on, and you're looking at different things. And, of course, you know, in the headlines is all about Simone Biles, and it's all about... And honestly, some of the comments that are being made, the Attorney General of Texas had to walk back his comment. But what people don't know, and this is really interesting, she's literally on the journey you just described.
Oh, yeah. She's in it.
She's in it. And she's having to deal with, and people don't know this, the entire Olympic Committee abandoned her. It just, I mean, she's over there just cheered on. For those of you that don't know who won all the all-around, you can Google it. But she cheered on her teammates. And yet people are trying to understand exactly what you just talked about. And I want to ask you about this in the context of this, because she's a gymnast, and she experienced something that we know where she can't compartmentalize. It's called the twisties. What we don't realize is every day we go through this. She just happened to be pointing out an experience as a top world, the number one, you know her. She is demonstrating what millions of people, and I just want to talk about the United States, millions of people in the United States are experiencing now with no way to find support. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to move into that space of the pause. What is the impact from that, from your perspective? What are you seeing? What kind of help are people asking for, Ellen?
Oh, I mean, what are some of the things all people fundamentally want?
Yeah.
We want peace. We want liberty to be ourselves. We want freedom to be expressing ourselves. And we want love. I feel like those are the fundamental four things that people want. I facilitated a group a couple months ago. It was my first in-person, and I was really honored to be asked to do it. It was a group of long-term survivors of HIV. And I came in, and the topic, they had like a series of kind of guest hosts for their weekly meetings, and their topic that they wanted to talk about, what's the meaning of life? And we really centered in on that because, I mean, this is a group of people who has been through everything, and they're trying to like grasp like some of the pieces of like going through the pandemic as well and being hypersensitive around exposure and making sure that they're safe, like that they were, you know, they're like, what is the meaning of all of this? And I was actually a little bit laughing, so I was like, I don't know if I'm the one to facilitate your meaning of life conversation. I'm about 20 years younger than most of the people in the room. This is a group of people who were around during the AIDS crisis in the 1980s, right, and the 1990s. And I just wanted to hold the space, but they had such beautiful capacity for perspective, and they cut through the fat so fast, and they got into peace. They got into liberty to be themselves. They got into freedom to, like, be in the world, and then love. And we ended up just talking through those themes, and it was so beautiful because perspective can take any lens, right? You can have the space, but if you can't figure out how to just find blank space because you need something to hold on to, you can find a theme with which to start to view your world, right? We can go put on our glasses. These are my love glasses today, right? I'm going to start looking at it through the theme of love to try to identify how to have space
away from the charge of the negativity that is going on around something else. And I don't mean Pollyanna it. I'm not saying to do Pollyanna, but I'm saying to take a step back, look with different lenses, choose a theme you'd wish to see it through, and then start to pick up. I had this thought earlier this week. I did an episode on it about, I did it on the pod. I did it on Tuesday. How do you start to go underneath the story? And like a set of lenses for some perspective can help you start to see what are the rocks in the way on the path. And it's not really even about the rock. It's just that hurdle hits you into something that you creates a reaction in you. And then it's getting curious about the reaction and where that first reaction happened, maybe even in your life, right? So it takes all this effort. There is effort and intention to start to build perspective, but once you start to build it, it's like a muscle, and it's much easier to slip into different lenses and perspectives and building space over time. And that's really the coaching work that I do, is like I help people build a practice in getting space and perspective. So they don't need a coach for, you know, there are people like, oh, you need a coach for like a year, work with me for, I'm like, yes, maybe, possibly. I haven't worked with them, but like I'm big on fast results and impact and practice, and come back to me when you need a tune-up. That's kind of where I'm at. And that's how I view building that process. I don't know if I answered the question exactly.
You did answer the question. Okay. And, you know, I want to bring it around, skip this break for a minute. I want to bring it around because I think that for people like me, and, you know, and I don't think I'm alone. I hear this a lot. And I think there's so many people out there now that fit into this space right now, where we're having to change our perspective, right? We're having to change our perspective on who we are. If you look at statistics right now, Ellen, there's a case study after case study coming out where hotels, like a hotel in Missouri, opened their doors up and said, okay, people, come back to work. Like 40 people, come back to work. They did not come back to work. None of them, like zero. Right. So we had a perspective that if I build it, they will come. No. If you build it the same way, they will not come.
They will not come.
They will not come.
Frame.
Right. And somehow they had probably had some genius on their management staff say, no, build it differently. They changed the rates. They gave them benefits. Now, what they don't say in the study is if the 40 people that worked there came back, but they filled those 40 positions. They had to change their perspective. And the reason I'm focusing on Biles right now is I hope that she becomes a spokesperson for looking at where we are with our mental conditions. And I don't think this is just about the stress from gymnastics. I do believe that we missed the boat. You know, the United States missed the boat. We're not like other countries. You know, our perspective is we have support teams here. Look, how many events do you have where you know you're going to take your child? You know, these are people that have had support teams with them, and then one day they're on a plane to Tokyo wearing masks, and they don't. And I think that the perspectives didn't change. You know, right. We tried to approach this as the old normal. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
100%. Yeah, there's an organization that's hired me to work with their team on this going. It's like, it's very literal. It's on going back into the workplace, right? Because they've obviously been 100% remote for the past about 18 months. They're going into return to work starting like September, coming in person, and it's not the entire agency that I'm working for, but it's a department within it, and it's this wonderful supervisor. So if anyone who's listening is in charge of a team of people, it is well worth the effort and time to bring somebody in to talk through the anxiety, the fear, to say hello to what each person is experiencing, and to sort of map it out, and then to look at the conditions that are being created. Because this is a giant organization with a top-down policy, and they are very like, we're so excited to have you back. Here's the guidelines, 1, 2, 3. And none of it is implementable because of the nuances of how people have been working. And especially this team in particular has a number of people that joined the organization during COVID, so they've never actually gone in.
and met their colleagues in person. And so it's really navigating, creating welcoming, belonging spaces that respect and honor everyone's mental health and well-being. And also now, because I think we've taken a big leap forward in terms of, yes, the expectations we can have for support in our workplace so that we are seen and cared for. I don't think every workplace is getting this, but I do think that there are a lot that are making big advances forward, and I feel really fortunate to be participating in one of them who's bringing in someone like me to do this work with their team. I'm even helping them build out in the fall their new upstream conflict resolution processes for how do we deal with conflict within ourselves because of the new conditions we're in. And it's not going to be as easy as walking next to the desk over there to just chat it out. What's our new process going to be so that we don't get into these awkward, and everyone knows what I mean, it's like awkward workplace relationships, right? And this is, again, I feel really fortunate. They're well coordinated and they're very relationship oriented, and it supports their product and their project and process management.
Yeah.
But they're very effective because they've invested in support, belonging, and relationships.
Yeah, and Ellen, this is what we're talking about. I want everybody to know this show right here, this episode with Ellen Wyoming Deloy, this is about saying hello to space between you. I want to take a minute, but I want to continue without a break. I want to take a minute, and you're talking about working with organization, but I want to stop. How do people find out about you? Tell them about your show, and I want to pick this up where you left off with that organization, but before we do, tell folks how they can work with you, but also how they can find out more about you.
Okay, thanks. I'm still really bad at self-advertising.
That's why I'm here. I'm really good at promoting everybody but myself. People don't even know my last name, so let them find out about you. I think Benny knows my last name, maybe.
So I have a website. You can find me most easily there. And I will advise, it's a work in progress. It's still a little bit mess on mobile, so go on your desktop, but I'll link you a mobile thing in a second. So EllenWyomingDeloy.com is where you'll find me. You can find me on Instagram, and that's a good spot to find the quick links for everything. It's just at Ellen_Wyoming on Instagram, and in the link tree, you'll get access to my website, The Pause, my show on Dr. Pat's network, and then also my podcast. I have another one, Inner Light with Ellen, that I just produce on my own because I can't stop talking, apparently. And there's places to book. So the way that I work, if you're an individual or of an organization looking for support, is I do a 30-minute free consultation because it has to be a good fit. I have very specific criteria for clients. We have to be in alignment with one another. I'm not in this to just get as many people as possible into my work. I'm here to meet the people who are really matching up to how I approach coaching, how I approach facilitation, organizational development, to build something together. I'm very relationship oriented. Most of my work actually comes through word of mouth, and so it's very relationship oriented. But those are the places to find me. Did I say them all? I think
you got them all.
Okay.
And let's pick up. Look, I play a sport called table tennis, so I'm watching it very closely, and I have to get an app to watch it. I really love watching the Olympics. I really love people, you know, getting to where they are. But I want to talk about it from your perspective now, and how do you build and get perspective on our stories, feelings, and emotions? One of the things I'm really struck by, and I worry about it, not like really worry, but I think about it. And I think about the fact, and it's not just Simone Biles. I mean, you know, about a half hour ago, if you follow my sport of table tennis, there's enormous issues around table tennis and COVID-19, you know, and athletes having it, right? Just enormous issues around this. And there's just a lot of conversation about it. But I'm also struck by the fact that there was a perspective change, and that was, I'm not able to compete, and I want my team to have an opportunity to shine. And I'm thinking about that perspective, and yet there's a storyline that goes with it that talks about Biles and her mental state. So it's very difficult to have the other perspective, Ellen, where I stepped back so my team can excel. Now, did that play out? Absolutely.
how did it play out? When you look at what happened with Cindy Lee, who as of this moment won the gold all around, it played out. It played out where Biles cheering your teammate on, who had the perspective, I need to step back so I don't bring the whole team down. But that may not be the perspective of the world. Help us talk about how we build a different perspective in our stories, because that is the perspective changing that is happening around that event.
I think for ourselves, a big part of that is where you're sitting with the word judgment. Because if you have, and all of us have a lot of, I'm just going to assume, especially in Western culture, a lot of us have a lot of judgment kind of running through us. It's been thrown at us. We judge ourselves incredibly. I think that people who are inclined naturally to want to help, serve, and like heal others carry a lot of their own also like self-punishment energy in a weird way. And in a way, like to get release from that is the service and the doing good to kind of relieve from that burden. And then in turn, it can have this interesting shadow side where if others aren't doing something similar, there's judgment also. And so relating it to Simone Biles, yes, but also to relating it into just the perspective when someone takes a step.
Yes.
Simone took a step, and she took a step back, but it was also, if you think about it, it was a spiritual step forward, right?
That's really what I want. That's the conversation I'm going to have tonight.
Yeah. So she took her ego, and she's brilliant, right? She's on the leading edge of this. She took her ego out of the picture. She looked at the comprehensive narrative for the bigger part of the thing she's a part of, and she took a step back, and that energy was able to redirect forward. It doesn't really matter what the rest of the world thought, because she's having her growth. Her team is having the growth. They're all the effect of that energy in a really good way. The rest of the world now is being challenged to say, I'm in judgment, or I'm in support. And then they get to go and investigate their perspective on how they're using judgment or objectivity and neutrality to view something. And I know, commentators, everyone, we need to say that you must be judgmental. But if you're going to do it in the privacy of your own home and heart and mind, take a step back so that you can just assess how you're viewing the situation and where that voice came from. Is it really yours? Does it feel good? I mean, I know it can feel very good to be hoity-toity up on your high horse and saying things. I have enjoyed it many times in my life. But it, the consequences of it for me are no longer worth it.
No. And, you know, I want to talk about perspective here in a minute when we come back from break. Because one of the things that, you know, if you are following the Olympics or you are following something else, you know, there are different perspectives and stories that we can tell ourselves. I have to tell you one of the things I've done, and I'd love for you to comment on it because when we come back, because I've tried to reach out to my political party, and I've tried to say to them, stop sending these kinds of emails.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been trying to...
Polarizing ones?
Huh?
The polarizing ones?
The ones, that, like... I got an email the other day, and it was like, oh, my God, you know, we're going to lose these two seats. You're going to lose your right to breathe. You're going to – and I'm like, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking
– fear, 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 fear. Wait a second.
And I wrote back to him, and I said – and now I'm calling him, and here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, listen, dudes, if those two seats go, don't look at me not contributing my $5. What the heck are you people doing? And it's just interesting how I had that reaction to it all of a sudden. It's like email after email after email about fear. And I asked myself, is that the building blocks we want to have here, is fear people into something? When we come back, what happens when fear enters the pause? The fear pause. That's a good one. What happens when that happens? How do you break free of it? How do you get a different story and a different perspective? And by the way, you can change your story, but Ellen's going to tell us about that. We're going to take a short break, everybody, when we come back. Congratulations to Suni Lee. Congratulations to her being motivated by her dad. Congratulations to her for turning that story around, changing her perspective, and remembering what got her there. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Can't get enough of Eyes Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off-limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eyes Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes. So live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Fear entering the pause. P-A-U-S-E. Did I spell that right?
P-A-U-S-E. Yeah.
Did I get that right? Jamie, Jamie, you spelling that right? Jamie's like, are you going to make me talk on radio? Yes, Jamie. Love them. Jamie's one of our new producers, and you know, you know, I was talking about them during the break. You actually forget she's here. Start talking about your team and like, oh my gosh, they're running the show. Before we jump ahead, Ellen, you know, I want people to know how to work with you and talk with you because there are three things that are really important right now. One is we have to understand that the way we were 18 months ago may not work. The rules of the game that we're trying to apply may not work. Hence, the reason that you see the United States of America not getting all the gold medals, because we tried to apply a normal that once existed to a situation that doesn't exist anymore. They should have hired you.
That'll be my big growth period when that happens.
And the third thing is, you know, what are we doing to eradicate the level of fear that we have right now? And before we go there and talk about when fear enters the pause, how do people find out about you? Tell us about, you know, what you're doing, how they can work with you, and literally how they can change your story.
Okay. I work with people one-to-one. In a coaching context, they often come to me through a professional lens first, but I'm comprehensive, so we work together in the whole picture of the life. I work a lot in my style. I'm an energetic and intuitive coach, and so my whole existence is about reading between the lines of the story that we're telling to get to the root of the emotion beneath it so we can identify if it's working or not for us, and then tools to shift it so that you literally can move forward in like a different way. And that's my one-to-one work. And then we can just kind of apply that up a level to like a macro and into organizations. And I work mostly with small teams, often agencies, government agencies actually, and helping to build more clarity. Well, sometimes internally, so with their internal team, because you can't do good service if your house isn't in order. So there are some teams that hire me to help them with organizational work so that they are better in their delivery to their communities, particularly to make sure all communities are reached. And then I do the bridge building work between historically oppressed and marginalized communities and agencies to make sure plans and policies and process not only don't impact them adversely, but benefit them when they have been left behind for so many decades, centuries. And so that's how I work in the organizational context. I'm also starting to do keynote speaking, so that's coming up this fall.
Beautiful.
Fun. Yeah.
It's time for us to get back out there.
Yeah.
It's time for us to get back out there. That means we got to get on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Totally right. But, you know, these are very interesting times, and I want to talk about perspective. You know, I've been talking about a couple of my table tennis buddies call me, some of the people I know, and, you know, and they found out I got two new knees, and they're really like, oh, right? So my perspective was, wow, I'm going to get a whole bunch of things done that I never thought I'd have the time to get done. But we're talking about entering this place where fear starts to take hold. Now, I keep referencing the Olympics because I'm watching fearlessness at a lot of levels.
Oh, my God, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a gymnast nobody's probably going to talk about after this Olympic. And I want to say when Carrie had to step in for Simone Biles, you know, we're talking about somebody that never thought she'd get to be on the platform. I wonder what she did to shift her perspective, because when it got to the individuals today, you know, this is somebody that scored a 15-2 on the vault, close to the Brazilian who got a 15-3. This is somebody that was your alternate. They don't even give her the same outfit. They give her, like, a different color. What's that about? What is that about? Given your alternate, it's just the craziest thing for me that I'm all of a sudden noticing. But she didn't let fear hit the pause. That's not generally what we see. We're seeing something about fear. Tell us what happens when fear steps into that space that is so sacred.
Yeah. Well, I want to reference really quickly the gymnast, right?
Yeah.
Talk about training at a high level for a long time and working through all of this. Like, what we get to see as the audience at the Olympics is the show after decades of rehearsal or years of rehearsal, because they're not that old. They're not decades old. And the work that they've done, and I'm sure that they'll have to continue to do, because they are, some of them are still so young in their careers that they'll have other careers after this, that they'll have to work through things. But they have this honing and this trust. And I think a big part of it, honestly, from an athletic standpoint that's very helpful, is that they are so in their body. And they have to build such trust with their body and communication with it, that you and I, who, you know, maybe we're casual joggers, even runners, right? Like, I'm a casual exerciser. I used to exercise a lot, but I love my relationship with my body. I do lots of yoga at this point. But it's another level entirely when you're competing that way. And because they're so tuned into their instrument, right, their instrument being their body, they have the visualization techniques to get into the state that they need to be in to perform, right? So what we're looking at is their practice. And I highlight all of this not to intimidate people, but to say that it is a practice. If you don't have to go join the Olympic gymnast team, but you do have to commit yourself to saying, I'm going to work at getting space and perspective and learning how to clear the fear. Let's just call it that, right? Clear the fear, clear the clutter from my space that's not working. And I can talk more, but I feel like you've got a thought, so I want to wait a second. Here's the thought. We're seeing things happen, not just on the Olympic stage, but across the world. We're seeing heroes show up. You know, we're seeing people, and let's talk about this from, and let's not lose sight. You know, clearly the Olympics is on my mind. You know, I found out that my grandfather was born in Brazil, so that was an interesting awakening for me. Like, okay, it was the secret in my family, right? And then you get this ancestry thing, and you're looking and you're saying, what? That cannot be real. My grandfather in Brazil? So what is that about? So I pay attention to Brazil now. So here's what I want to talk about. We are really clearing the way to try to understand what the amazing heroes have been in the past 18 months. And I just hope we don't stop talking about them. I just hope we don't stop talking about what people did to step up to save lives. But this woman, this Rebecca Andrade, this Brazilian woman, right, that nobody would be talking about now, right? If Simone Biles was in it. So we got this Brazilian woman that now steps up, almost won the gold, like by a small, you know, sneeze, didn't win it. The first South American to ever medal in gymnastics. And when you look at her story, she had 3 knee injuries, operations. If COVID didn't delay the Olympics, she wouldn't have been in it. And so here we are. She qualified at a last chance, finished 14th, and because of the pandemic, here she is. And as of today, she finished 2nd. But boy, if you watched her perform, I wonder what she had to do to change her perspective about how she felt about her knees and bodies. So let's talk about how we change our perspective about how we feel about ourselves right now post-COVID, if you don't mind. Yeah. And I hope you don't mind this. I have a Portuguese phrase that I read on a graffitied wall when I was in Brazil that has been in my mind ever since. When was that? I must have been 22 or 23 when I saw this. I lived in Brazil for a short time. And the phrase, like seriously, this thing I've memorized, and it's all about what we're talking about. O que você faria se você não tivesse medo? And that means, what would you do if you didn't have fear? And there's my Portuguese skills 20 years later.
And I'm trying to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, my friends are saying, you got to learn Portuguese. I'm saying, okay, I'm trying to learn it. But
yeah.
The point that we're making is we get to choose how we move forward in life. Can you talk about that point? Because this is a pivotal part of our conversation today. You know, it's not about the Olympics. It's not about Simone Biles. But let's talk about what we might see, what our perspectives might show us. What happens when you have a vision about something that seems so far out of the range of what you create? Can you hold it? What do you do?
So
have a perspective about all of that.
So here's how I do it. I like to personify 2 things, and they're related to each other, fear and resistance. And I give them characters because I can get my space with them and laugh at them a little bit. And I will be annoying right now, and I will give you their voices that I give them. So fear is this little voice just hanging out going, hey there, I'm noticing you're about to go do something. I've got your best interest at heart. I'm just going to take the wheel here. Okay, you go sit in the passenger seat or the back seat, even safer, honey. Get back. So, like, that's fear. Fear is taking over to put you in the back seat because it is on high alert all the time for everything happening. And I apologize. That was a really annoying voice. but that's what fear is doing. It's putting you in the back seat because it thinks that it's keeping you safe. And here's what fear's mechanism really is. It's protecting the ego. Okay. Your ego can't get hurt. We don't like it getting hurt. We don't like not being in the in crowd. We don't like being ostracized. We don't like being judged or called out. So fear, this little, and I imagine it kind of as this small, squat little midget, like of a tiny cartoon blob, right, with like big eyes, and it looks sweet. It's pink. It has a bow in its, you know, hair, and it is manipulating you into safety and smallness so you stay safe. And when I look at fear and I kind of talk to myself, like, what am I afraid of? Oh, it's jumping in the driver's seat and it's shoving me back here and this is why. I can laugh at it because it's so silly because I know there's not a lion in the jungle that's going to eat me. That's when fear is very helpful. I do not want to be eaten by the lion in the jungle or the tiger in the jungle. She's going to tear my body apart and I won't be alive anymore. Like, most of those fears are well-founded. But when they play into, like, taking a step for your life and then you're hitting some kind of resistance, which is its cousin. It's just like, and I imagine that is like the big dopey Muppet that's like, whoa, I just happened to be sitting down over here. Did you run into me? Sorry. And he like meant to sit down in front of you because he's just like that. Like, that's what resistance is to me. And so if I kind of look at them and I'm like in my mental visualization of these cartoon characters, you now have an insight into my Muppet brain. It's like, okay, I have to pick them up because I'm bigger than both of them, right? And I just pick them both up and I kind of plop them back into the back seat where they're necessary. I'm like, resistance, one day I'll need you to show up and get in the way of a car accident. That's fine. Like, let's divert traffic so no one gets hurt. Totally fine. Fear, if there really is a tiger that's stalking me, I'm going to have you take the wheel and go into action. But right now I'm in control. Both of you buckle up and button up. And that's this personification piece because that's what it is. And the key there, if you didn't notice, was humor. I made them ridiculous. I made fear and resistance absolutely ridiculous. And I like to take a step back and look at them and go, wow, you're really messing with me today, and you have whipped me around like I'm the tail of the dog or however that phrase goes where you're the thing that happened. And I'm not interested in experiencing that for the next week and a half about this thing. So let's go have our little conversation. So I'll literally be like sitting in a meditation, and I'll start talking to them. Because if I can talk to them, I can kind of decode what they're in the way of. And sometimes it's quite profound, right? It's like, well, how one time when you were little and this thing happened and you were so heartbroken, honey, I'm just protecting you from that. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm a grown-up now, and I can parent myself. So thank you so much. I love you. Go in the back seat. And that's a really fun way to think about it. I don't necessarily, and I'm sorry, in my coaching sessions, I don't sit and do all the voices. I promise. I'm doing it to illustrate a point here. I don't want you to be afraid. I won't go all nasal on you. I promise.
But, yeah. You know, one of the things we are talking about is we all have those personas. You know, we all have them within us. And, you know, what you actually were able to demonstrate is how sometimes they really sound. They may not sound exactly like that. They may sound differently, but they do. You know, what I love about what we're talking about is they come at us in different ways to try to get us into a space where we're willing to throw the towel in. And, you know, what I mean by that is sometimes you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. That's different than what I'm talking about now. You know, there are times, and many of them, where our mission is to move forward. And I want to ask you, how does the pause help us put ourselves into action? And again, you know, these Olympic women had to step up. Carrie never thought she'd be in the game. You know, Suni Lee, of course, who did win the gold by like a fraction, right above the Brazilian gymnast who was never supposed to be in the Olympics. But when you're given that opening, how does the pause help us put our plan into action even when we have to make major adjustments?
It's that old saying, right? Go slow to go fast. I mean, can I just give it to you in that simple of an answer? The pause is making yourself slow down so you don't blunder through those same mistakes.
Yeah.
If you can't stop and check the patterning of what you're running on autopilot, and it takes a little bit of consciousness to realize that there are things going in autopilot, and you can't catch them until you slow down. And let me tell you how uncomfortable it is to slow down. We all know how hard it was last year to just suddenly come to a grinding halt.
Yeah, grinding.
But as we're kind of moving back forward, things are popping open, going under again. It's a very weird space that we're in right now. But we're used to the fact that there's some resistance residually on the planet. I'll just call it that for our ability to go fast. Use that time. The resistance may have happened to you. The pandemic happened to you, but you can get really intentional with that slowdown and go, okay, that resistance monster called the pandemic, it's bigger and less cute than the one for myself when I want to just start my own business. But it's making everything, it's like if anyone has ever been in a boat, right, and you're going down river and you have to eddy out. When you eddy out, you go to the side of the river where the water is actually reverse circulating. Or you can even pause mid-river if there's a big rock and you're not going to run into it. There's usually an eddy behind a big rock where there's still water because the motion is different. You're just pulling over a little bit. You're not getting out of the river. You're not going up and changing your mode of transportation. You're just eddying out for a minute to give your body a break, to have a snack, to take a drink of water, maybe to stop and fish for a while. Use the space that you have to do an assessment of what is coming up for you, what is bothersome. What is tricky? I have a client I worked with her yesterday, and she's like, I hate being early to things because then I'll sit there for 10 minutes and I'll feel like I'm wasting my time. I need to maximize my time all the time. But she's trying to, like, up-level her business and have it be more awesome for the next 10 years. And I'm like, but you don't like this hamster wheel you're on perpetually. So let's talk about your resistance to being early so you have 10 minutes of space. That was her homework for the week, honestly. It's like you have to go practice earliness and sitting with the discomfort of stillness to identify what you're avoiding. Right.
Ellen, one of the things I love, and, you know, I want to bring it back around to this, is, you know, this idea that if we actually enter the pause, if we actually slow down, you know, to finish, there is this place that we have to plug into, which is a place of trust, of faith, and of hope for that space. And I know you do work with people on that, because once we get to that and are able to do it, and we see that first result, right, then we build up, oh, I know to do this again.
Yeah.
And that's the experience I had last night, you know, when Jessica, myself, and Linda were speaking. It was, we have to slow down. We have to slow down. You know, we have to look at certain things that, of course, must be done here. But the three of us, we are the ones that slow down. We have to create the space for other people to be able to live in the pause. And if we are just relentless because we know how close we are to finishing a vision, we're not going to be able to help the other people come along. And I think that's what you're talking about. If you take this analogy and put it into the family unit, this is where I think we really need to become aware. Right?
I'm just nodding my head, and you might be able to hear my daughter, who's having a bit of a temper tantrum in the other.
Oh, is that right? Oh.
She's listening. My husband's out there, but I'm like, oh, I hope the mic isn't picking up that noise.
Ah! But then you're just right in the middle of what I'm saying, because this is the thing we don't know how to do. This is the area that if we don't keep talking about this for all of us here, you know, we are Olympians in our own right. You know, we have just come through an Olympian size transformative event, global and otherwise, and we were not trained for it, but we did it. And now there's this place now where people are not the same. And yet we just want to try to be the same. I think this is where that body of work where you do comes in, because we have to figure out a different story.
Yeah, and I really like the vein you're going in around create, like allowing yourself to create a new narrative. And if you relate this to the home briefly, there's already a story that most parents have already, if they were already parents before the pandemic, they already know it because they had to go through a transformation when they became parents. And that took, for me, about 2 years to understand this like new identity that I was in. My kids are 4 and 7 now. And it took me a while to be like, oh, I was this, and now I'm this and this. How do these two commingle? And this is honestly a spot a lot of parents of younger children are still wrestling with because there's so much to do. There's busyness. And even the pandemic was hard because it was shifting how they were busy. And then now that things are opening again, like I took my kid to preschool, my other kid to camp, and then like she came back from preschool, and it's just like this already in post-COVID times. But we're practiced with adopting a new identity, whether we get drugged through the mud to do it and have a hard time becoming a parent, and that's okay. That happens because we don't have the same kind of role modeling that we may have had in older times with like more of a standard way to do things. It's harder to find the narratives that fit us, but we still create them. And this is kind of like all of us rebirthing in this other way, and we have processes we've done before, and if we take the moment to pause and think about when is the last time I had to go through something really challenging and difficult? How did I change? Was it when I went to college and I was the first one in my family to go to college? And what were the tools that worked and didn't work for me to get through that process? And what would I have done differently? Can I take any of those lessons consciously and apply them to today and try something new to see how I'm meeting like my discomfort? Because like when I went to college, I was very shy and I'm outgoing, obviously, but I'm an introvert also. And so it was hard for me that first semester to connect warmly and closely with like the two people I knew I would need in my like college life. And thinking about post-pandemic, going back out into the working world and realizing, oh my gosh, I am going to get overstimulated again if I'm in bigger crowds because my energy gets really high when it's like that. And it's hard for me to come down, but it's like there are so many tools I've learned since then to do that in this pandemic because it was such an acute, abrupt shift. It's like asking me to go practice it more. I did it before. I can do it again, and here's how I can tweak it. And it just takes the wherewithal to remember that we all have it within us to do it. And then you have to create the space to practice it, which is the hardest part. That's the hardest part. Just like 10 minutes a day, do your thing. What was it? Was it journaling and reflecting? Was it meditating? Was it just doing breath work or tapping? Was it taking a half an hour for an online yoga class? Was it going to yoga for, you know, the studio that hopefully for you did not close? My two favorite studios closed. But all those pieces, right? So much shifting and changing. I don't know if I'm getting it all as the
well,
answer.
I'm talking about it now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting calls from people that are talking to me and saying, have any of the clubs, table tennis clubs open? And, you know, my answer is, yeah, Jin Lee's club, Seattle Table Tennis, has stayed open. And, you know, then the next question, are people wearing masks? And it's like, you know, you go and you look for what fits. But these are questions we've never had to ask ourselves. And we're forgetting about it. You're seeing in the play it out on the Olympics. You're seeing people being given masks. You're seeing them look at each other, try to hug each other. But there's always this question now, who am I hugging? And you're watching the rise in COVID cases just shoot up in the Olympics. And so this is a factor. This is part of who we are right now.
Right.
This is it.
It's the awkward experimentation phase.
It's a new deal.
Yeah.
And I find myself, we're supposed to wear masks to walk into the hall, and I went to the hall and went to the restroom before the show, and I didn't have my mask. And I caught myself about it because we're not back to the normal we were.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pause before I walked through the door to the general lobby.
Yeah.
We're being asked to pause, and thanks to you, we're learning how to do it. Ellen, please tell folks how they can find out about you, and what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Well, one of the things I want to leave with is that if you're interested in clearing out the stuff that clutters up the space that gets in your way when you want to pause, I'm gearing up for a workshop in September. It's a collaboration with a friend of mine who is the director and acting and performance coach, but there's a striking amount of overlap, and it's for everybody. And you can follow me on Instagram to keep up with that, at Ellen_Wyoming. And you can also go sign up for my newsletter via the link in the bio and Instagram, or just go right to my website, EllenWyomingDovoli.com.
All I got to say is Yahoo. And thank you so much, Ellen, for everything you're doing. Thank you for reminding all of us about what we're capable of. And I'm so glad they're hiring you in organizations. I can't even tell you how important that body of work is. Thank you for doing all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and having the space to pause and have this conversation with you.
I love that. Everybody, let's find that space to pause right now. Oh, there's a show coming up on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll see you next time.